The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome in to our Friday edition of the Leach Report. One day away from the opening of the college football season for the Kentucky Wildcats tomorrow against the Central Michigan Chippewas out of the Mid-American Conference. Our show's presented by Wild Eggs of Lexington, and we're going to talk a lot of football today. And we'll do that with a former Wildcat wideout, Charles Walker. We'll check in with Adam Jaxa. He does the sideline reporting for the Central Michigan Network. And Justin Rowland from CatsIllustrated.com, normally with us on Thursdays, but Justin had to move to Fridays this week. That's our guest lineup for today, presented by Sleep Outfitters. College football season actually got started last night. Texas A&M out of the SEC, a big, nice, fat win over Northwestern State of Louisiana, 59-7, to launch the Jimbo Fisher era in College Station. Northwestern and Purdue was the best game of the opening night. Northwestern wins at Purdue 31-27. Rondale Moore, freshman from Trinity High School in Louisville, had a huge game for Purdue, making big plays in the running game, passing game, and return game, but his Boilermakers come up short against Northwestern. Tonight, the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers are in action up at Wisconsin. Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. That's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Central Michigan, 8-5 last year, picked preseason 5th in the Mid-American Conference. By the way, we are doing a prediction contest to pick the score for a chance to win a Wild Eggs gift card. You go to the Facebook page for the Leach Report. That's where the contest is going to run each week, the Facebook page for the Leach Report. And you'll see the other predictions that are there. A few dozen already up since this posted a short time ago. And we'll enlighten you on what some of the thoughts look like from the BBN as we move through the show today. But you can go there, do the prediction closest to the final score, and obviously the winning team. And you get a Wild Eggs gift card. If there's a tie, we'll have a random drawing. The Chippewas last season were very opportunistic with their defense. 31 takeaways, tied for third in the nation. But they also turned it over 31 times. 14 fumbles, only I think three teams in the country had more, and 17 interceptions. So turnovers are always huge. I have said before, the two stats I would love to see for Kentucky be very positive this year, and if they are, I think it will help this team do something special. One of them's turnover margin, and the other one is tackles for loss, which will go along with sacks as well, if they can show improvement in both of those areas, particularly the latter one, where it's been a while since Kentucky's been in the top half of the league on that stat. Our Jimmy John's Freaky Fast Fact for the week: Central Michigan has several wins over Power 5 teams. In fact, they've had one in every season that Coach John Bonamago's been there, but they are 0-8 all-time against the Southeastern Conference. Do have an outstanding running back. They're a little like Kentucky on the offensive side in that they have a new quarterback they're working in. They have questions at the wide receiver position, or waiting for somebody to assert themselves anyway. And they have an outstanding running back. And in this case, his name's Jonathan Ward. Did a little trash talking toward Benny Snell earlier this week. You no doubt heard about that. I was talking to Freddie Maggard at practice one day this week, and he said he thinks Ward is better than Ito Smith, the outstanding running back from Southern Miss that Kentucky faced at the start of the last two seasons. And you remember how high Freddie was on him. The Wildcats will wear wristbands and helmet stickers this season in support of Josh Pascal and John Schlarman, the O-line coach, both of whom are fighting cancer. Countdown to kickoff gets our coverage started tomorrow on the UK Radio Network. 1:30 is when they'll get going. 1:30 Eastern Time. Christy Thomas joined by Dusty Bonner and Jeremy Jarman this season. And then the kickoff at 3:30. Jeff Van Note will join me for this game and a couple of others this month because Jeff Pecoro has Reds duty. So we'll have Noter with us tomorrow. Jeff Van Note and I did the games together my first four seasons before Jeff Pecoro took over when Note stepped down. Landon Young, by the way, UK announcing he had his surgery and it went well for a torn lateral meniscus. This is not as serious as an ACL, so it suggests even more so that he'll be back good to go for the start of next season. Sometimes you get a torn ACL, it can take more than a year to really get back, but this one's not as serious. And the big weekend for Kentucky volleyball, the Bluegrass Battle they are hosting. First match is at noon today. They've got three teams in town for matches today and tomorrow. And a rough start against some good competition out of the tournament in Southern Cal last weekend. Kentucky started off 0-3 and was number 5 in the country to start the season. So need to be in the bounce-back mode this weekend. So good luck to Coach Skinner and his crew. And for horse racing fans, racing starts at Kentucky Downs tomorrow. Just 5 days of racing in those big full fields. It'll be a lot of fun. Saratoga and Del Mar wrapping up this weekend, too. It's going to do it for our Wildcat News of the Day. You can see links to the stories that we talk about on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Get to a break, and we'll get a scouting report on Central Michigan when we come right back with Adam Jackson. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, and we are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
16 past the top of the hour on this Friday edition of our show. We welcome in from the Central Michigan Radio Network, Adam Jackson, to talk a little bit about the Chippewas. And Adam, I would imagine this is a group of guys that are going to be anything but intimidated in an SEC environment because they have... This is a program that's won with some regularity and in some tough spots, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. This team has shown that they can go on the road and win big games at the Power 5 level. Now, they've never won a game against an SEC opponent. I think they're 0-8 all-time in the program's history. But you list off some of the wins just over the last decade. Wins at Indiana, Purdue, Oklahoma State, of course, a couple of years ago. Kansas last year, Michigan State in 2009. So they've played some really good opponents, and, you know, they come in and they're ready to go and ready to play in front of the big crowds.
In reading about the Chippewas for this season, I see the phrase popping up several times, a younger team, but that Coach Bonavago believes may be his most talented team. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what he said. It's his fourth year here, and the defense that he brings back is going to be certainly the core of this year's team, especially the front seven. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they match up against Benny Snell in the offense tomorrow. But definitely the defense is the strength of this team. But then offensively, yeah, you've got a number of young or newer guys. Tony Poljan, starting quarterback, will make his first start at that position tomorrow. And then you've also got a whole new core of wide receivers. They lost a ton of production, over 2,000 yards receiving, over 20 touchdowns from last year, has graduated, and some of those players, most, are competing for spots on an NFL roster right now. So you look at the offense and then the back end of the defense. Those are the younger parts of this Chippewa team that, yes, there's talent, but it's unproven talent because they haven't stepped on the field at a collegiate level.
They had 31 takeaways last season with that defense. Was it because of pressure they got on the quarterback? Was it just an outstanding secondary? What was the story there?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. So Joey Osman kind of headed the defensive line last year. He led the country in sacks right at the top. It was actually him and Sutton Smith out of NIU, a couple of MAC guys that were leading the way there. And then in the secondary, 19 interceptions, I believe, was the number last year, which was top five in the country. They had a first-team All-MAC selection in Amari Coleman, who graduated. Josh Cox was a corner that they moved to the safety spot. He was a first-team All-MAC selection. And then Sean Bunting, who will start tomorrow at the corner spot, he was also really good last year. So a combination of pressure up front on the quarterback, but then throwing the ball against this defense was so difficult because you had a ton of experience and talented athletes in the secondary.
Talk with Adam Jackson of the Central Michigan Radio Network as Kentucky gets set to take on the Chippewas in the opener tomorrow. New quarterback for Central Michigan, like is the case with Kentucky. Tell me about a 6 foot 7 inch QB that played a good bit of wide receiver last year, right?
Yeah, really, really good athlete, and I think like you'll see for Kentucky tomorrow, you'll be able to see some running. Terry Wilson will be running for the Wildcats, I can imagine, and so will Tony Poljan. 6'7", 225, big body, but he moves really well. He played wide receiver and tight end last year. He was actually recruited as a tight end out of college. Some bigger schools like Michigan State, Nebraska, they wanted him as a tight end, but Central Michigan said that they would make him the quarterback. That's really what he wanted to do. His dad played here at CMU, so he had ties. His dad actually played with Coach Bonamigo here at Central Michigan. The big thing with him last year, he didn't start because they brought in a grad transfer and Shane Morris from Michigan. His arm throwing the ball was inconsistent last year. He could run the football. Obviously, he's the big frame. You could move him out at the wide receiver position, and Coach Bonamigo wanted to get him some reps and in-game experience because he knew, he was turning this team and program over to Tony Poljan starting this season. So he got him on the field to kind of experience that. So the one question mark you have with Tony is what does that throwing arm look like this season and how consistently, can he put the ball on the mark? Because that we have not seen yet in his first two seasons in Mount Pleasant. Redshirted his first year and then, of course, got minimal reps last season.
Outstanding running back in Jonathan Ward. For Kentucky fans that haven't seen much of him, what's his running style?
Yeah, he's just a really hard runner, a guy that doesn't go down when the initial hit comes, and he's very fast, good cuts, great vision. He's kind of that back that is shifty with speed, but he's also got a burst of power too. And like I said, he can bounce off a couple of tackles. Just a really determined and hard runner, and I think that's another great spot to look at tomorrow. We know about Benny Smell, and obviously a proven back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons and a really good back in the SEC. But, Jonathan Ward's a top back in the Mid-American Conference, and, I'm not sure how Central Michigan was able to get Jonathan Ward. He seems like he's a Power 5 caliber running back, but, he comes back as certainly the most important player on this 2018 roster for the Chippewas.
What about special teams? Anything that's noteworthy in that area, either kicking or returns?
Yeah, they bring back both their field goal kicker and their punter. Jack Sheldon is an Australian punter, and from what I've heard, I believe the Wildcats have one of those as well. He's a guy that came in and never played American football until he came to Central Michigan. Was really good at putting the ball inside the 20-yard line last year, so expect that to be a pretty solid position. As for field goal kicking, Michael Armstrong's going to be the kicker there. Field goal-wise, I think he was 7 for 11 last year. Doesn't have a huge arm, or a huge leg, rather, but he's pretty accurate, in the mid-range game. So I think they're set there. And as for punt returning, it's going to be Jameel Sabah. He's a younger guy that has had some injuries and finally is getting a shot both at the wide receiver position. You'll see him at that slot spot, and then he'll return punts for the first time this season as well.
What would you guess is Coach Bonamigo's biggest concern for the matchup with Kentucky?
Well, I think it's no doubt it's the running game. I mean, Benny Snell is, like I said, a proven runner. I think the other thing, too, is you don't have a lot of tape on Terry Wilson. I mean, this guy comes in and a heralded recruit that was at Oregon and transfers and tears it up at the JUCO level, and now he's coming in to play with Stoops' offense for the first time. So you don't really have the tape of what that offense is going to look like. So you add the 1,000-yard rusher, you add a quarterback that is a dual-threat guy. I think the main concern is making sure you can stop both those first and second options there at quarterback and running back, and then you go from there. But those are two really good options that you're going to have to slow down. Not to mention this one's on the road, and Kentucky fans seem to be really excited about this season. I mean, back-to-back 7-win years, they've got some confidence and some momentum, it seems, in the program. So I think, one, just taking the crowd out of it, and two, you know, with both teams having a new quarterback, you know, I think the run game, however, whichever team runs the football the best, that could play a big factor in who wins this football game.
Adam, safe travels to the Bluegrass. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Adam Jackson, the Central Michigan Radio Network. John Hale has retweeted a story that he did about how the Terry touchdown nickname came about. Interesting note in there is the first time he touched the ball, Wilson, in a high school game in his high school in Oklahoma. They ran a read option play. He kept the ball and scored a touchdown on his very first play as a varsity quarterback. So we'll see if he can repeat that tomorrow when Kentucky squares off against Central Michigan. When we come back, former Wildcat wideout Charles Walker joins the program. This is the Leach Report. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. You can find them in Hamburg and in the Palomar Center.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Charles Walker joins us. And, Charles, this time a year ago, you were getting ready to put on a uniform the next day. I know you're excited about the start of football season, even though you won't be doing that, right?
No, absolutely. I can't wait. I will be in Lexington for the game, so I'm really excited to be a fan and see what the guys got this year.
I know sometimes former players are able to get in and see practice. Have you seen any of the practices or anything that was open?
Yeah, I went to a scrimmage, I guess about 2 weeks ago. It was their first scrimmage of fall camp, and was watching the guys looking at the team. And I'll tell you what, they really do look like an SEC team. We have the size, we have the speed. We have the muscle, so I'm really looking forward to the season and especially this home opener.
I was saying the other day that I sense a confidence level that nobody's doing a lot of, you know, boastful talking, but there's a real a confidence that is a quieter kind. I don't know if do you pick up on anything like that?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think the whole team's going to hold the chip on their shoulder. You know, it was kind of like the same thing last year. We hear about all these teams at SEC Media Day that have gotten so much better, and, oh, this team is ready to fight. And, you know, then we're kind of brought up again, and they go, yeah, you know, same old Kentucky team. We'll see what they can do. And I think now that the guys realize they're a contender in every game they play, I think, like you said, they do have that silent confidence that they're going to go out and whoop some tail.
Without getting into specifics, just in general, where do you think they'll be the most improved from what you've seen?
I'm hoping that this wide receiver corp is going to show out, obviously. But I think D-line's going to be major. You know, having Josh Allen stay and having guys in the secondary stay like Mike, I really think defense is going to be stellar this year. And I think the offense is going to be just as good. So I'm definitely most excited to see my man Dorian Baker out there making plays. It crushed him last year not being able to play his senior season, and now, you know, he's waited, what, he hadn't played a snap in 2 years, so I think he's really excited to get out there and show BBN what we were missing last year.
Talk with Charles Walker, who was a wide receiver for the Cats the last few seasons. We'll talk a little bit more about that position group when we come back. And I talked to Dorian this week for an interview for our pregame show tomorrow that'll kick off at 1:30, so it was good stuff. Make sure you listen for that. We'll be right back with Charles Walker.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Back with Charles Walker, former Wildcat wideout, as we count down to the opener against Central Michigan tomorrow. And you brought up Dorian Baker. I thought he was really poised to have a big year last year because he had the key catch late in the win at Louisville, then had just an incredible diving catch in the bowl game against Georgia Tech, and then he had that just really ugly injury in the second scrimmage last fall. We didn't get to see him last season, so I can tell from talking to him earlier this week that he can't wait to get back out there. What do you foresee for him this season?
like you said, I think he's going to have a big year. Even after his injury, when, you know, he heard the news that he was going to be out for the season, and although he was devastated, you know, his mindset never changed. He said, I'm going to rehab, and I'm going to come back stronger than ever. And I think that's what he is doing. And I think he's ready to become a mature leader for that group and be a leader on the field vocally and with his plays. You know, like you said, he's used to the acrobatic catches, and hopefully he continues that this year.
You're around those guys in practices on a daily basis and in the meeting room. Who do you think in that wide receiver group might also be ready to do more than we've seen them do before?
You know, I think Taven really showed himself last year as a constant receiver outside that can make plays, so he's going to be back. I think Lynn has now had a year under his belt, and I think he's poised to make some great plays. You have David Bouvier there, the constant catcher. Every time I've been on Instagram or Twitter and UK football sends out something, it's him making a one-handed catch or a diving catch, so I'm really happy to see what he does this year. Isaiah Epps outside, he's got the speed for the deep ball. You got Ali that's quicker than heck. I'm really just excited to see them go out. Cleavan Thomas has got the redshirt year, so I'm like I said, I'm really excited to just see anybody make a play. I don't care who it is. I'm ready to watch this offense shine.
Bowden was a guy who didn't come in until late summer last year, so he just looks a lot more polished just getting open now than he did then. Did you see that as well?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That just comes with experience and being able to read defenses and just know the position. You know, he played quarterback in high school, so he didn't know how to play receiver, and now he's got a year under his belt. He's got a good receivers coach, so I'm sure he's going to have a breakout year.
Terry Wilson, what has impressed when you've seen him operate? What has impressed you about the way he handles the position of quarterback?
I just think he's a smooth operator. You know, he's super athletic. He has the speed, and he throws a tight spiral. So I'm looking forward to. I'm really just want him to make the easy passes first, because that's what gets your confidence up. And then I think he's really going to have a special year for this team, being able to get out of bad circumstances and turn them into big plays. So I'm really excited to see his athletic ability show on the field, and you know, hopefully we got some long scrambles for some first downs and touchdowns and some scramble plays.
There are a lot of fans, no doubt, that are already peeking ahead to the game next week down at the Swamp. How much does that, all the talk about the Florida streak when it rolls around each week, each season, weigh on the players?
You know, right now, you don't really think about it, especially because, you know, it's the home opener, and you don't want to overlook your opponent ever. But when it is the home opener, you've really just been thinking about this day, you know, all summer during workouts, all camp. So it definitely helps that we play them second and not, you know, sixth or something like that, because, you know, fifth game of the year, you're playing a team like Central Michigan, and you know that there's a streak weighing on you for Florida next week. That becomes more of a factor, but because it's this home opener and they're ready to just hit somebody else, so I really don't think right now they're thinking about it too much. You know, during the week of preparation, Stoops will mention it because, you know, you're 18 years old, you're mature, you can handle it, but it's not like we used to harp on, all right, guys, time to, you know, end the streak every day. It's more about perfecting your craft, and as long as the team goes out and plays the way that they can play, then I believe that we can win any game. So that's the way we viewed it.
What is Coach Stoops like as far as a pregame talk? Is he just very, more matter-of-fact? Is he a real rah-rah guy? How does he handle that, or does it change from game to game?
Yeah, I think it definitely changes based on who we're playing. Sometimes you can walk in the locker room, and if he can sense that, you know, we're ready to play, then he kind of just gives a short little speech, gets us a little more pumped up and lets us go out. Or, you know, something that comes to my mind was before the Louisville game 2 years ago when he walked in and everyone's rapping that Meek Mill song. He just kind of said, all right, let's get out of there. You know, I don't have to say anything. Y'all are already pumped up. But he's definitely good at giving speeches that, you know, make you want to play the game. He's a player's coach, and I was lucky enough to play for him.
How does the music get picked that you guys listen to in pregame?
Now, music's picked by players. I don't think we really had a guy that would play it every game, but there's definitely some good pump-up songs on some of the players' phones. So we'd listen to those and blare it in the locker room and get out and get ready to hit somebody.
Well, I know you had meticulous preparation for starting a season. Is it the same for a tailgate party?
Yeah, you know, right now, I've been lucky enough to have great family friends, a sense of family that throw a big old tailgate. So I just get to go there, relax.
Good for you.
And watch some college football. They have a nice little setup. So I'm going to get there, I think, about 10:30 and start watching these games at noon. You know, they set up a big tent with a bunch of chairs. So the tailgate will be really fun.
Well, Charles, enjoy. Good talking to you. We'll catch up down on the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Tom.
It's Charles Walker, number 88 for the Wildcats the last few seasons. He was David Bouvier of the last few seasons. Count everything. He was the guy that Stephen Johnson often looked to for a key third down throw. I remember when they were making the drive down the field in the Florida game last year, getting in position before they got that brutal holding call. It was a big, I think it was a fourth down catch that those kind of situations. Charles was the guy that he looked to. We are doing our Pick the Score contest again to win a Wild Eggs gift card this season, and we're doing it through the Facebook page for the Leach Report. So go to Facebook, find just type in the search box the Leach Report, and you'll see where you can post your prediction, winning team, and final score, and closest to the correct margin is going to win a Wild Eggs gift card. Here are a few of the predictions that we have so far. Wayne calls it 55-17 Cats. Greg, 48-16. David, 55-18. And here's one a little closer. Mickey, 45-21 in favor of Kentucky. I don't think anybody yet has picked a Central Michigan upset. Greg's got it 38-17 Kentucky. Raymond, 34-13 Kentucky. So all of you, most of you anyway, going for lopsided wins. Here's one from CW, only a 7-point win, 24-17. I don't think Big Blue Nation would be too happy with that. They want to see Kentucky come out with a TCB win. Take care of business before you head down to the swamp. Pete, 38-17 Kentucky. John has it 35-17 in favor of the Cats. Go to the Facebook page for the Leach Report. Post your prediction. We're heading to a break, and when we come back, Justin Rowland from Cats Illustrated will join the program. It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. We'll be out at the Hamburg location doing the show on Tuesday with Coach Ortmeier, Larry Vaught, and you can come out to either the Wild Eggs in Hamburg or Palomar each and every day for a great breakfast, brunch, or lunch. They're locally owned and operated, and everything on the menu made from scratch. We'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
We welcome in Justin Rowland from CatsIllustrated.com. Justin, the games got started last night. Texas A&M clobbered Northwestern State, as expected, in the Jimbo Fisher debut. Did you get a chance to see any of that, catch anything of there that was noteworthy?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that. I was honestly watching more of the Northwestern and Purdue game, but I want to see what Texas A&M's working with. And I don't know how much we can take, but the question is, how quickly is Jimbo Fisher going to work his quarterback magic there with Kellen Mond? And you know, not a great test early, but I suspect he's gonna turn their offense around pretty quickly.
Northwestern and Purdue turned out to be a really good game. Young man from Kentucky showed out well for Purdue in a loss.
Yeah, Purdue like had an all-Kentucky backfield to start the game with Elijah Sindelar at quarterback and Rondale Moore taking end-arounds, and I think he set the school's all-time record for all-purpose yardage in a game, and he was doing it catching and running and returning, and that's the kind of player Kentucky wants Wandale Robinson to be. And you know, we'll see if they can get him, but I think they're very similar in some respects.
What are you hearing on that front?
I think they're still confident, you know. He made a video, a commitment video, a long time ago, and he seems like he's going to drag this out and maybe take it into the fall. Official visits can start back up tomorrow, this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But I've heard Kentucky still feels good about Wandale, and he would be very – he's probably their top remaining recruit.
Let's shift to the game tomorrow. First of all, what are you hearing out of camp and the prep that has caught your ear?
I mean, I've heard heard that they're really confident in Terry Wilson, and that's the topic that is going to dominate the conversation. That I think the dynamics of that situation are pretty interesting. It looked at first like they might be splitting snaps, and now it looks like they really want to get Wilson ready for Florida. And so how much do you open up the playbook and just kind of let it rip and get him comfortable with the timing and with the playbook going into the Swamp the next week? Or maybe do you hold back a little bit so you leave a little bit of mystery there for the Gators not to figure it out? I suspect they'll put pretty much the whole playbook on display early, and we'll see what Wilson's going to be doing this year right away.
Really eager to see him throwing the ball tomorrow, because there's all the talk is about him as a runner, and he is exceptionally fast. But in watching him throw, it's a really nice looking ball that he throws. Very quick release. But what will his on target look like and his decision making look like under fire is what remains to be seen.
Yeah. And I think people are going to be surprised at how good Central Michigan's front seven is. You know, they lose the guy who was tied for the FBS lead in sacks from last year, but they feel really good about their defensive line, their depth. They've added a couple of grad transfers. They've got three returning starters at linebacker, a four-year starter. They've got a playmaker in the secondary. It's not going to be a pushover-type situation. He's going to get pressured some. They're going to be in the right spot. So it'll be a really good, nice test for him in week one.
You know, if the game's close, fans will grouse. But typically, teams out of this league, some of the better teams in this league, I think they're preseason fifth in the MAC. Teams out of the MAC are often tough beats. This team has several Power Five wins in recent years, and others out of that league have as well. Conversely, if Kentucky could post a convincing win, that would I would think make a bit of a statement for Kentucky fans.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, how many times has Iowa lost a close game or won a close game against a MAC team in the first week of the season? It seems like that's happened for my entire lifetime, and then they've gone on to win like 8 or 9 games in the Big Ten. So, you know, this is not like an 0-12 Miami of Ohio team that Kentucky was playing several years ago. I mean, this is a quality team, a quality program that gets up for these games. A lot of it is going to hinge on Tony Poljan, their quarterback. You know, he's obviously a phenomenal athlete and huge, but how ready is he to go on the road in his first game as a starter? That's why I'm skeptical as to their chances. But yeah, this will be a nice test. If Kentucky covers a 17-point spread, I'd say that's great news moving forward.
Talking with Justin Rowland, CatsIllustrated.com, at Roland Rivals on Twitter. Benny Snell generates a lot of buzz, obviously. A new quarterback gets attention. Fans have always been infatuated with C.J. Conrad. Who's somebody else, offense or defense, that you think fans will be talking about after this first game that isn't getting as much attention right now?
Yeah, I think all offseason, I've been curious to see what Cash Daniel looks like in the middle of the defense. And I talked to our guy Jeff Drummond on our podcast, and he singled out Cash as well. I don't know what he's going to look like, but he's the player I'm most interested to see, because he's been in training an apprentice at that middle linebacker position for 2 years. He's, you know, while everybody else is bulking up and getting bigger, he's been improving his flexibility, his lateral agility, his quickness, kind of trimming down. I'm just anxious to see how well he flies to the ball, goes sideline to sideline, how mobile he is in coverage, and what kind of gains he's made in that respect, because, you know, he's going to have a lot to say about the success of this defense.
I think the question about him is more on the pass coverage side. I think he's going to be, really good. I think it may make him even better against the run, along with the guys up front. But the question will be, and you touched on this, as far as some things he's done with his body to try to get a little quicker, a little better out in space. But that'll be the question.
Yep, I mean there's a lot of interesting storylines. Jamar Watson, Boogie Watson, in spot duty, you know, he's been phenomenal. You think about how he stepped in against South Carolina. He obviously has the athleticism and the chops to make big plays, but how is he going to be playing, you know, upwards of 60, 70 snaps a game when, you know, that tends to expose your flaws a little bit more? So continuity is kind of the buzzword with the team this year, but there are definitely some new guys and some guys stepping up that are going to be fun to watch.
I think I'll be paying probably a lot of attention to that defensive front group, because that's, if the defense is going to, whenever they make a significant move forward, that's where it'll start from, I think.
Yeah, they got a lot of guys that are, if Phil Hoskins channels it on a football side a little bit and channels that chaos, he can be great. If T.J. Carter makes the strides we thought he was going to make last year, if Quentin Bohanna gets the motor right every single snap like Derek LeBlanc told us, I mean, there's like one thing that each guy needs to do. The only thing that's tough about the defensive line is, like, Landon Young going out, they've got obvious replacements. Pascal, I'm not sure who the obvious replacement is. I was expecting the defensive line to make a big step forward, and I thought any part of that recipe included Josh Pascal having a big year and being very disruptive. So it'll be interesting to see how they replace him.
Justin, appreciate the time, and we'll have finally games to talk about when we get together next Thursday. Thank you.
I'm ready. Thanks a lot.
Justin Rowland joins us normally on Thursdays. His weekly visits are presented by our friends at Shuffle Bean Coffee, which is a locally owned and operated company, and they are all about putting a great quality cup of coffee in your hand. They monitor the process from seed to cup is how they like to phrase it. You can go to shufflebean.us and see the story of this local company. They're big cat fans. And you can also find where you can find Shuffle Bean Coffee. What Kroger stores and other locations across the state have it. And if you don't see it near where you live, then ask your local grocer to carry it. Or you can order through Amazon Prime if you are an Amazon Prime member. Get yourself some Shuffle Bean Coffee. We're heading to a break. We'll come back, wrap up this edition of the Leach Report in just a moment.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Lister points out, I may have neglected to mention this when I was talking about Central Michigan. They are picked fifth in their division on the back, not fifth overall. And that's a league that usually, there's often one really good team. Western Michigan was, I think, undefeated a couple of years ago. And there might occasionally be somebody that's bad at the bottom, but usually from probably second or third down to near the bottom, there's not a whole lot of difference year in and year out. And several teams out of that league will often go out and get Power 5 wins. Now, what it usually is, they're picking off the low-hanging fruit of a Power 5 league often. Central Michigan won at Kansas last year. Not always, though, because they won at Oklahoma State the year before, and that Hail Mary pass, you may remember, but often it's they'll pick off the teams that are at the bottom of Power 5 leagues. I don't think Kentucky's there, but they've got to go out and show that tomorrow against Central Michigan.